The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And it is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. Just to let you know, Special Olympics Ireland are calling on people across the country to support their collection day today. The organisation plays a vital role in the lives of individuals and families across the country. Volunteers are going to be out shaking buckets in towns, cities and communities across Ireland to raise vital funds in support of Special Olympics Ireland's life-changing sports programme. So if you see anybody doing a bucket shake, you know what to do. And if you want to find out more and how to donate online, you can go to newstalk.com/ Special Olympics. Now it's time for the Friday Forum. I'm joined by Hildegard Nocton, TD, from Fine Gael, Minister of State, attending Cabinet with responsibility for disability. I'm joined by Craig Hughes, political editor of the Irish Daily Mail, and Rory Hearn, TD, Social Democrat spokesperson for Housing, Local Government and Heritage, and TD for Dublin North West. And the man apparently who is offering facile, superficial solutions to the housing crisis. Rory, busy week in the Dáil for you.
It sure was, Anton. The Taoiseach threw that one at me during the week. I think that was just a bit unfair, along with a few other jibes he was throwing. He seemed to be, it'd be fair to describe him as the tetchy Taoiseach this week. They were under a lot of pressure. Obviously, the big issue of the week was the mooted appointment of the housing czar, Brendan McDonagh, CEO of NAMA. But that's all fallen apart now. A shooting czar, it was a short moment, bursting and then falling. I think, though, put it seriously, I think it's an absolute shambles. I was raising it during the week in the Dáil that, you know, the inappropriateness, I wrote to the Minister for Housing.
The inappropriateness of the salary, is that what it is?
Inappropriate of the salary, but actually inappropriate of the position. I felt that in terms of his role in NAMA, which I'd been very critical of down the years, and obviously he was doing the work on behalf of the government, but he did play a key role in bringing the institutional investors in here, evictions of people from NAMA properties. So I didn't feel that was appropriate. But I think the role itself, the process that went into it, wasn't appropriate. But overall, the salary was absolutely outrageous. And the politics of this in terms of the public perception, like in a number of weeks, in recent weeks, the government has moved to postpone the introduction of the living wage. And the reaction that I got from constituents and the public was just this sense of disconnect around this salary of close to $500,000. For someone who has been brought in to fix the housing crisis. And what was interesting was public reaction about NAMA, that people still have that in their memory of this, you know, body that was set up to supposedly deal with the crisis, but ended up, you know, selling so much of our homes, land to vulture funds, and really, you know, one that does not have a positive resonance in the public mind.
Although those working for NAMA will say that,
of course,
was the
they will
and
say
they,
yes, absolutely, and the government says, you know, it did a great job, but there's a very different perspective on that.
Talk to us, Craig, then, about the political analysis of all of this, because the one major issue that has been facing this government is housing. We were told that the quasi-silver bullet was going to be this new agency that'll bring everybody together. Brendan McDonagh was, for a long time, not just mooted, but was a shoe-in for the job, and we knew that he was due to get it. It has all come asunder.
Yeah, so a couple of points. First of all, I think the Taoiseach and the Minister for Housing have been left red-faced over this. I mean, we had on the 4th of April, the Taoiseach said that the appointment was imminent. Then we had James Brown, the Minister for Housing, saying on Tuesday after Cabinet that he had a preferred candidate and he was going to bring this to the Sub-Cabinet Committee yesterday on housing. That never happened because the intervention of Fine Gael leader Simon Harris, as I was reporting today in the Irish Daily Mail. But to go back to the salary, right, and this is what really got me. I revealed in the front of the Daily Mail yesterday that the €430,000 salary, that's what he's on NAMA now, but he would be taking a pay cut when NAMA gets wound up later this year, because that was a special increase to do with a secondment from the NTMA. So the fact that we had two Sunday newspapers at the weekend saying he was going to retain this was a really big issue, because let's look at the structures that are put in place.
You mean
here.
He was going to retain something that he otherwise would
exactly,
not have retained?
Yeah, he would have been taking a pay cut. So people are asking, well, why? Okay, and they were right to ask that, because this stems from a recommendation in the Housing Commission, right? But there's a big difference between what the Housing Commission recommended and this agency, because the Housing Commission recommended that the person who headed this role, the agency, would have executive powers, right? So they really would be able to have budgets to spend, all the rest of it. This unit wouldn't. So you're putting a guy in on €433,000, more than the Taoiseach, more than the minister, paid more than the Secretary General, all of whom he's supposed to be reporting into, but doesn't have any extra powers. So it really didn't make sense. And I think it's you know, while the initial concept was right, I don't think they'd really thought through what they wanted to get out of this.
Hildegard Knotton, did you think through the handling of it as well? Because it was known for some time that this was the likely candidate and the salary was known for some time. Was there not scope for intervention before a cabinet meeting and having it all very publicly fall apart like it has?
I think it's really important to pull back here in relation to what was decided at cabinet, and that was the Housing Activation Office. That I sit at the cabinet table. That's what was agreed to establish that office. There was no decision made in relation to a person who would, or a name was not mentioned in relation to who would run that. What the Minister for Housing is
doing now... Because he had withdrawn himself from consideration, wasn't it?
There was never a decision made on that. It never came before cabinet. I sit at cabinet. There may have been people muted or names muted in the media. That is not a decision of cabinet. What we did agree...
But at cabinet level, there was a declaration of a preferred candidate.
But that's up to, you know, particular people can come out and give their preference. But we have to deal with the process here. And as a cabinet minister, I can tell you categorically, and this is in the programme for government, and I think and opposition parties now are kind of standing up on pedestals saying that they're now coming across like they don't agree with this activation office. This was in line with the vision of the Housing Commission. It was in the Social Democrats election manifesto.
The salary?
As was it in the Sinn Féin manifesto. There was no mention of salary. There's no decision made on a salary at cabinet. It never came to cabinet for a decision. What we have agreed is that we're going to establish this activation office. What do we want to do here? This is all about breaking down silos and making sure that we are addressing a lot of the infrastructural challenges.
Okay, and I think that has been well ventilated about the office itself.
And that's what the Minister for Housing now is going to do around the workings of it.
I know you said it wasn't brought to cabinet, but James Brown was on the radio on Tuesday and he said he would be bringing the name of his preferred candidate to the Sub-Cabinet Committee on Housing yesterday. That then didn't happen because there was an intervention prior to it. So senior ministers who were going to that meeting expecting to ratify that name weren't brought with a name at all because it was pulled before.
No, I have to say that, you know, people can mention have preferred candidates and preferred people, but how this works at a government level is there's stages to this. The first stage is to establish this office. The Minister for Housing, Minister James Brown, will now go away and look at how that office will run. We need to make sure that they have the remit, that the expertise and the leadership is working within that unit, who will work alongside the structures within the Department of Housing, be accountable to the Minister for Housing and to government.
And how long before you expect to have a chief executive for the agency?
There is absolute priority and urgency here in setting up this office as quickly as possible. What the Housing Commission said in relation to this was to set it up on a legislative, a statutory basis. We're not opposed to that, but there is such urgency here is to set this up as quickly as possible. I'm not going to give you exact dates, but I can tell you that the Minister for Housing is now going away to establish exactly how this unit will work. The expertise that will be brought in from the utility companies, from infrastructure.
Are we talking months?
I would say weeks in relation to the running of this. This is the top priority for government. What we want to do here is make sure that sons and daughters who are living in the box room of their family home can get on the property ladder. We have increased the number of houses between 2020 and 2024 by 133,000. We need to do so much more.
Okay,
and that is our priority as a government over the next 5 years.
Just to come back on a couple of things there, the minister was saying that it was in the Social Democrats manifesto, and what was in the Social Democrats manifesto was the proposal by the Housing Commission for a Housing Oversight Delivery Executive, which is different than an office. And we need to be really clear about this.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, I'm waiting
The executive, as per the Housing Commission been recommended, is that it would be underpinned by legislation, which you had no mention of until you were actually challenging the Dáil on
what
it.
What would your executive
do? Secondly, it was also to be resourced by a board. It was to be have the resources that it could actually make serious interventions. There was no resourcing put in your initial kite flown by this office. And the whole point is that you had this czar, your Minister for Housing, said that I want this Brendan McDonagh in to be the czar, yet Fine Gael were clearly either didn't know about it or then felt the political heat over it and rolled back on it and left the Minister for Housing. I think this is very serious because we're expecting this government and to be serious about housing, to be coordinated in your approach. And yet you can't even be coordinated in terms of who you're going to put in to run a new housing office.
So if
and,
I can
and
answer that
issues,
question,
because
Rory,
it is not just
if,
take,
if
the, because you're misleading
question,
the public. You misled the public about the 40,000 homes.
You're misleading.
And now you're misleading also about affordable housing and what
okay,
an office.
Well, that's
Rory,
a fairly significant charge.
Rory,
so let me,
if I can answer your question, we're establishing this Activation Housing Office. Now the Minister, as appropriate, will go away in relation to working out how this will work, making sure that key infrastructural blockages and those silos that are presently present right across the country through local authorities and region area to make sure that we can increase housing supply. That, I hope, is what you would
but
want
to tell.
But
those silos, you know, have been existing. You've been in government for
so
14 years.
So, sorry, Rory, you're after saying that what we're proposing is not what the Housing Commission or yourselves are proposing. It is. We're here to break down the silos. But it will be resourced.
Okay.
This is all part of the process.
Okay.
This is what
Craig
the Minister
Hughes
for Housing
Craig
is doing. And you're trying to twist
Daily
this
Mail.
Into something it's not.
No, we're not.
Minister, I think the reality is that we went from having a scenario whereby yesterday we were on the brink of having a housing czar appointed. And now we're being told the
That's
minister,
not correct.
The minister himself said that he was going to bring a name to the Cabinet Committee on Housing to be ratified. On the news at 1 on Tuesday, that didn't happen because it was pulled. Now we have a joint statement from the two coalition leaders and him saying he's now going to go back and think about how this is going to all work in practice. How this wasn't done in advance of a name being prepared to be ratified by that committee is outrageous.
The process here is to establish the office and then... That was our first agreement at Cabinet. The next step is how that office will run, the expertise from Irish Water, from ESB, from industry, key players right across the construction industry and particularly our local authorities to be feeding into this new activation office. And yes, it will need somebody at the head of it with leadership and experience. And that is what is being rolled out here. And it will be done with complete urgency. That's how you do it.
On that, it's, whatever
and
about
what
the
opposition are trying to say is that all of this should have been announced at the first Cabinet decision. No, this is a process
that
we're
whatever
doing,
about the manner of the setup
government.
Of the agency. Rory Hearn, the Social Democrats' position on this, have you anything against the notion of an agency that brings together those, for want of a better word, stakeholders, the Irish Waters, the ESBs, the Airtricities? Is that not a good thing
no,
to have somebody knocking
it
heads?
That's what's needed. And
that's
we,
what we're
do you
doing.
Mean? And, no, but, hang on a minute. If you're
that's
even,
what we're doing.
That's what's needed, right? But what the office, as far as we've seen, is not that. It is
so
not resourced.
Hasn't been
hang
set
on
up
a minute,
yet.
Minister. Will you give me a minute?
The office
talk.
Hasn't been set up yet.
You can talk over me all you want, but you're just trying to hide from the reality is that you didn't have a worked out, detailed plan of what this executive, because there's a difference between an office and an executive. And that is what the Housing Commission were very, very clear about. An executive is resourced. It's underpinned by legislation. It's not a couple of people sitting in a room with some big high hitter going around the country saying, where is this? Where is that?
Okay.
Having
well,
no
that's
resources.
That's not what we're proposing.
Which, and essentially, it seems what you actually were going about
yeah.
was yeah, creating a golden parachute for McDonough. Someone in Fianna Fáil said, this guy needs a job. He was a great guy to
that's,
do NAMA. Let's get him in to do the office.
You're just making it up now. You're just making it up.
Look at how it's unfolded.
Hang on for a minute, Roy. I do need to allow Hildegard to respond.
Yeah, we're going to have the key experts as part of this office. It will have resources.
Which experts?
Of course. Do you want me to be announcing how this is going to work when the Minister for Housing is going to come back to Cabinet? This is a government.
That's what the
when you want to go into government,
Czar.
Rory, when you want to go into government and your party are prepared to go into government, then you can be in these positions. What I am saying is this is going to be an effective activation office to make sure that we can break down infrastructural silos so that we can increase housing supply across the country.
Okay.
Like we have been doing, but we need to ramp that up and it will be resourced.
You've been misleading
people.
I think both of your points have been well made at this point. Believe it or not, there is other stuff making the news this week that we need to discuss because it is 100 days since the US administration arrived in. And it is hard to think of a US administration that has had as big an impact globally in its first 100 days and possibly as small an impact domestically as the Trump administration. Craig Hughes, as political editor, to return you to your proper title when I had demoted you earlier, your take on that first 100-day period, because the polls aren't good from Donald Trump's perspective.
They're not. I mean, he's certainly achieved a lot of what he said he was going to do to a worrying degree. I think in his first tenure, We didn't see the full force of what he wanted to do. This time around, he really has taken the global economy and just shook it viscerously. And we don't know where the ball is going to end yet. We keep being told that, and I think the Taoiseach was quite ominous in his words to the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party before the tariffs came in, that we're never going to go back to the way things were in terms of global market and trade. And that's a very difficult thing to, I guess, comprehend and let settle. It won't really be felt, properly for a number of years. I think the most worrying thing about the Trump presidency, though, is his attack on the institutions of the state, such as the courts, institutes like universities, shutting them down and really trying to monopolize power, and even talking about perhaps extending it to an unprecedented third tenure in office. So I think it's a really, really dangerous time in US and in global affairs.
Is there a positive, counterproductive result of it, Rory Hearn, in some of the things that are coming out? Like, for instance, if you are an anti-Trump, if your ideology is anti-Trump and more left-wing, one of the effects it has had is returning a liberal prime minister in Canada, which was not the prediction 6 months ago.
Yeah. I think that it's deeply, you know, everyone is deeply disturbed and worried about, you know, the state of things with what's going on with Trump. You know, there's an Irish woman who's been detained. You know, there's...
This is the green card holder, yeah, who believed her record has been expunged.
And, you know, it's deeply, deeply... Like, you look at Gaza, his approach to Gaza, what's happened, you know, the genocide that's ongoing. You look at the... In terms of the way the world is going, the slide towards authoritarianism, because Craig talks rightly about the attacks on the institutions, democracy, the media. Like, we can't get away from looking at the parallels of the 1930s. And it's deeply, deeply worrying. And yes, you could say, OK, it's going to lead to some, you know, you're saying, like in Canada, for example, the Liberal government. But my concern is that there's a deeper trend here, which is that slide to authoritarianism. And where is it coming from? It's coming from deep inequalities, economic inequalities in the US, combined with people feeling excluded, combined with the social media whipping up of the narrative, the anti-immigration far right. And we can look at the US, but we're not completely immune from it here either. You know, we're seeing, you know, the rise of the far right here. We're seeing Europe. I think we should all...
Are we all to anything like a comparable extent?
No, it's not comparable. Of course it's not comparable, you know, but... It has impacts here. And I think what we need to be looking at is how are we ensuring our economy is sustainable and is not as dependent on the US as it is? And also, how are we addressing the issues of social inclusion? That is really one of the biggest lessons. We have to ensure poverty, inequality, housing, workers' conditions, people feel part of society. Because if you don't do that, this is what will happen. And of course, there's a wider agenda as well of the billionaires, you know, global inequality, global wealth. You know, we're seeing that this is not just one madman.
Well, let's
this
look
is
a bit,
system that is in trouble.
Let's look a bit at the economic consequences of it, because our reliance on US multinationals, 50% of our corporation tax coming from 10 companies, most of those American multinationals. How exposed are we, do you think, Hildegard Nocton, now that we have had some time to see the way the tariffs are shaking out?
So I come from Galway West constituency, so we have many of the key multinationals in my own constituency,
yeah.
But there's lots of as well small to medium enterprises, Irish-owned Indigenous businesses who are feeding into those multinationals as well. I think it's really important to, as well, instill confidence here around Ireland's position and the strong position we are in. Yes, we're in a very volatile global economic space, but every other country is going through the same thing here. I think we're in a strong position because we are that gateway to the European Union, 450 million people in Europe. That is not to be sniffed at by the US or any other country for that matter. So from Ireland's position, we are working and will continue to work with our EU counterparts. We have, for example, Pascal Donoghue. He is president of the Eurogroup. Hugely influential position there at a European level when we are negotiating, which we will do with the United States. Our position here is that we need to remain calm and get into substantive negotiations. There are high risk areas for us, as we all know, like pharma. We had our Taoiseach, the Minister Simon Harris, in discussions with Howard Lutnick in relation to pharma. But he was explaining to him the mutual benefit here. You know, the US, there's risks, huge risks for the US as well in relation to this trade between the EU. And when I say the EU, I mean Ireland as well and the US. And we need to keep our diplomacy going, and that's at an economic level. We've IDA, Enterprise Ireland.
But
we
can
have
I ask
key
on that,
Hildegard,
if you have a situation where, if the message goes out in the US that says, okay, if you're Pfizer or Lilly or Microsoft or Intel or Abbott or Stryker or any of the rest of it, and you're faced with where does our next big infrastructural investment go? Does it go to Ireland or does it go to America? If it goes to America, it doesn't impinge on the relationship they have in the EU. All it does is start to drag jobs and productivity back to the States. How do we prevent that?
We prevent that or work towards minimising that at an EU level. And that's where the negotiations come in. We have Commissioner Sefcovic, who's the Trade Commissioner. And again, Minister Simon Harris, Minister for Trade here, is working very closely with him. But we also have key Irish people living, working in America, in the US. We are great networkers across the world. And Tánaiste has set up a forum here in relation to trade with the key agencies, but we also have people working in the US, working behind the scenes. And I think it's really important for people to be reassured here. But our best approach here, and I think the EU handled this well when these tariffs came out, they didn't react immediately, and we can see what happened to other countries who did. So I think the response has been proportionate. Yes, there are risks. We are highly aware, acutely aware of that, but we need to continue working with the EU on this.
There's sort of two schools of thought that seem to be emerging, Rory, at this point, which is either we are in a 3.5 year period of deep volatility and the world will return to normal at the next election, or this is permanent. What's your view?
My view is we're in a situation of deep volatility because, as I explained...
Temporary or permanent?
Well, I think it's the longer term, unfortunately, because, as I said there, that the Trump has emerged not because he is one madman, but because of deep problems in the American economy and the global economy. We're talking about a changing geopolitical order. How this is going to work itself out is not clear. And Trump is increasingly tightening his grip, and it's not quite sure how this is going to go. And he doesn't seem to, when we look at, of course, the other issues are, of course, the people who are wealthy, who are making money out of this, are looking at it and going, they're trying to hedge their bets as well. And certain parts of capital are making lots of money, other parts aren't. And so there's contradictions there. But I think we do have to look at where we are in terms of, an island, small island, we have a certain amount of control. We do need to look at how do we remain competitive. Housing is a key issue, but also our relationship with Europe, the kind of model we're developing in Europe. But unfortunately, I think we do have to realise that there are serious problems here, and this politically is likely to continue.
Well, on that topic of housing and of the other infrastructural challenges facing the government, how much, Craig, is response to the US economic measures distracting from the business at home for the workings of government?
I think we're fortunate in some regards that we have our two sovereign wealth funds, one that's been completely ring-fenced just for infrastructure, which, so even if there is a sudden shock, that'll be called upon. So I think you're more looking at the kind of midterm plan, and I guess in terms of housing and infrastructure and that and changes there. I guess in the more immediate, I think when you look towards the budget, you're looking at things that's been well flagged, in terms of tax cuts not going ahead. So I think in the short term there isn't a kind of a, and we'll see this wash through in the kind of revised national development plan. I don't think you're going to see a scaling back on the infrastructure side, because that kind of does future proof you should there be a kind of a downturn.
And do you put much stock in this notion that the budget that we may be facing into may be the worst since 2008, or is that overstating it?
I think that might be a bit overstating at the moment, because we don't know yet. We're in a bit of flux, but you're already kind of seeing influences on decisions here from Trump. For example, Minister Patrick O'Donovan said on RT that the Netflix levy that was scrapped, for example, he knew it wouldn't go down in Washington. That was one contributory factor to it not going ahead. We're looking at now the labelling that was introduced by Stephen Donnelly, the alcohol warning health labelling, that's now under review, potentially being canned. So while you have the big picture impacts, there are all these other subtle policy changes that are being impacted as well.
Folks, thank you all very much. Craig Hughes, political editor with the Irish Daily Mail. Rory Hearn, TD for the Social Democrats and spokesperson for Housing, Local Government and Heritage. And Hildegard Nocton, TD for Fine Gael and Minister of State attending Cabinet with responsibility for disability. Just a reminder, if you missed anything on the show, everything is uploaded as a podcast. You can listen to on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show. Big thank you to the team. Editor Emer Bradley, senior producer Claire Darmody, producer Niamh Dunn, researchers Kian Burns, broadcast assistant Anne-Marie Kane, and Cormac McDonough was on.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.